Today is commonly known as Mother's Day. So, may I wish all mothers here a happy Mother's Day. And I'm sure all mothers will be glad to have their children to show appreciation to them as mothers. Recently, I was at Jueng home. I was rather sad when one of the elderly folks was telling me that he has got two sons, and one of them has gone missing. And what she meant was that the son has not been visiting her. And I sympathized with her, and I tried to comfort her. Oh, I trust that all mothers here will be comforted. And for that matter, I trust that all of us will do our best to appreciate all that our mothers, they have done for us. I'm still thankful to the Lord for my mother, who has since gone home to be with the Lord many years ago. And the impression that she has left in my mind was that she was a godly lady. Even though she was not brought up in a Christian home, I was the first in the family to become a Christian. And then after that, followed by my father and my mother. But during the last few years of her life, she spent time reading the Bible and praying. And that is what I have. I want to remember her as one who is godly. Yes, indeed, let us not forget our mothers. Let us express our love towards them, especially for the way they sacrifice themselves for us. But remember, let us do something special for them, not just on Mother's Day, but throughout the entire year or throughout our entire life. To all the mothers in this congregation, I hope you will not just want to hear appreciative words and also special gifts from your own children or grandchildren, but especially words of commendation from our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you like to hear words of commendation from our Lord Jesus Christ? And this is what Jesus said to us about Mary here in Mark chapter 14, in that she had done a good work, or she has done a beautiful thing for me. And that's what Jesus said. It is wonderful, my friends, if our Lord Jesus Christ would say that we have done a beautiful thing for him. And today, may all mothers be encouraged by God's word in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my dear friends, all the mothers here, I trust that you fulfill the role of that of a mother as of the Lord. As of the Lord, not unto men. Because when we do that, we will definitely be blessed by God, and you will definitely receive his reward that is promised here. I trust that today's message from Mark chapter 14, in fact, this event is recorded not only in Mark, it's also recorded in Matthew, Luke, and John. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put them all together. And I trust that this event will inspire all of us, particularly our mothers, to follow the example of Mary. Do you believe in giving your best to those whom you love? I'm sure you do. I'm sure you give your best to the person that you love, your loved ones, your children, your parents, your spouses. Yes, we express our love to them by giving and by caring for them. So let's go through the story together. We read about Jesus was in Bethany, a town just outside of Jerusalem. And Jesus and his disciples, they were having a meal in Simon's home. And while the meal was going on, Mary came into the room and she anointed Jesus with perfume. What was her motivation? What was her motivation? Pouring out expensive perfume upon Jesus. Now you see, there was no way that Mary could get back the perfume. There's no way that Mary could get back the money. It was poured out and gone. Yes, gone. And if she really wanted to do something for Jesus, couldn't she be, maybe she should maybe come up with something more practical, perhaps something that is cheaper, something that Jesus could keep for himself. But no, it was an expensive perfume. Now, to find the answer as to why she did that, we need to remember Mary's encounter with Jesus. What motivated her to do such an unusual thing? So just remember, as I described to you, Mary's encounter with Jesus. See, Mary had another sister by the name Martha and a brother named Lazarus. And the whole family was close to Jesus. And we read in John 11 that Jesus raised Mary's brother, that is Lazarus, from the dead. It was recorded that Lazarus, he was sick. And when Jesus got the word that he was sick, he didn't go there right away. Instead, he was late to go and help Lazarus. And it was recorded that Lazarus was already dead for 4 days. And then when he went before them, our Lord Jesus Christ displayed his power over death. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Now imagine, just imagine if you were Mary. How would you feel when someone bring back your brother, your only brother, to life, to the family, to you? And as for Mary, she was very thankful. Thankful to God. Very grateful for what Jesus had done. And so when Mary came into the middle of this dinner party, she had in mind how Jesus restored her dead brother to her. So she gave, and she gave her best to Jesus. But there's more. In the end of Luke 10, we read about Mary and Martha extending hospitality to Jesus at the house. And Mary, we were told that Martha, she was busy working behind the kitchen, getting dinner ready. And during that time, Mary was just simply sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus. And Martha complains to Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried about so many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." And here too, Jesus pronounces a blessing. A blessing to who? Not Martha, but on Mary. But look at Martha. Martha was doing her best, isn't it? She was busy serving in the kitchen. She was doing her best for Jesus. But why isn't Jesus giving her any commendation? But instead, the commendation was on Mary. Oh, we could only conclude that Mary was focusing her heart upon Jesus, whereas Martha was focusing upon what she wants to do and what she's able to do. And I believe that's the difference. Now, going back to the scene of the anointing of Jesus, when Mary poured out those expensive perfume on Jesus, it was because of everything that Jesus did for her. Her heart was filled with love, with awe, and with worship. And she had to do something to express her love for Jesus. And she had expressed her love not just in words, but in action. Indeed, action speaks louder than words. And when there was murmuring and grumbling to what Mary was doing, Jesus stopped it. He being God himself, he understood that it is Mary's way of showing her love. And Mary provided the only evaluation, or rather Jesus provided the only evaluation that really matters. What did Jesus say? She has done something. Something not just good, but beautiful to me. Yes, Martha grumbled at Mary, and the people, even at that event, criticized Mary. But Jesus commended her because Jesus knew her heart, and that is more important than anything else. So whatsoever you do, when we do it for Christ, Jesus knows our heart. And so here's a lesson and challenge for us. Mary could be a model for us. And this is how we should respond to Jesus' kindness and love. And obviously there are parts of this event, this story, that are quite unique and to that particular situation, because Jesus talks about Mary having anointed him for his death and burial. And it was indeed a prophetical act of Mary. However, Mary's action doesn't mean that we need to buy expensive perfume and pour it out maybe on the Holy Communion table. No, don't do that. Yeah. Nor should Jesus' words about having the poor always with us make us think that, oh, think about what Jesus said, we should not care for the poor. Oh, no. Just remember this. This is a unique setting and a unique part of Jesus' life. However, there are still significant lessons that flow out from this event. Like Mary, we want to conduct ourselves in such a way that Jesus could say to us, you have indeed done something beautiful for me. Do you like to hear Jesus telling us that? You have indeed done something beautiful for me. I would like to hear that. But what are some important lessons that we can learn from this encounter? Just remember 5 C's. Yeah. Very quickly, I will try to explain, but what are the five C's? Count your blessings, that's the first C. Second is commit to worship. And thirdly, count the cost. Fourthly, carry the cross. And last but not least, that is contemplate your testimony. First, count your blessings. Doing something for Jesus, something beautiful for Jesus, begins by counting our blessings. Are you aware of how much Jesus has done for you? So your desire to do something for Jesus could be in proportion to your experience of what he has done for you. Remember, Jesus acted first, and we only respond to him. So the challenge for us is to be aware of his gifts to us. Think about it. All of you are aware of what it means to say that Jesus forgive us of our sin. Are we really thankful to God for the way that he has forgiven us? For the way he has redeemed our soul? Yes, are you aware of his promise that he has given to us, the promise of eternal life, the promise of heaven? Can you think of any specific prayer that he has answered for you? Can you remember how miraculously how Jesus stepped into your life or the life of someone that you love, and how Jesus sustained you, and how he has covered you with peace and joy, and how he has indeed blessed you with grace and faith and provided all that you need? My friends, are you thankful? Are you thankful to Jesus? There's nothing that will deepen your love, our love, and respond to Jesus more than the simple act of identifying his blessings. All the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. Yes, what you need to do is to spend time reflecting on those blessings. Remember them. Meditate on how he has touched your life. And it is indeed a good habit to spend not just once a week, but every day thinking through how the Lord has blessed your life and all the promises in his word. Think of your life, how it would be without the touch of Jesus. Yes, make it a part of our life, our daily discipline to remember all those wonderful things. Mary, she did not forget. She did not forget what Jesus has done for her. How about you? How about us? Lesson two, commit to worship. Doing something for Jesus is ultimately a commitment to the act of worshiping God. Yes, we offer many things to Jesus, but perhaps the most beautiful thing we have to offer is our worship. Whatever we do on the outside, it will be right only if it is a reflection of our inner worship of Jesus. The Bible is filled with many warnings about only going through external motions of religion without a worshipful heart. What it means is this: you can be in church every Lord's Day, but yet it is not a heart of worship. You're just going through the motion. Perhaps it's you're forced to come by your parents, or perhaps just coming just to show that, you know, you're a member of the church. God knows our hearts, my dear friends. Clearly, God loves is a heart of worship. And Jesus loves a heart that will focus on him alone. What Mary did is simply a reflection of her heart. No one could accuse her of just going through the motions. What she did externally by pouring those expensive perfume started in her heart as she worshipped Jesus as the King of Kings. Think of this way. What Jesus loves and blesses above all else is when we worship Him. And the most beautiful sight is, in this world, to our Lord Jesus Christ, is when our hearts adores Him. So as we think about what we are to offer to Jesus, think about worship. Certainly that includes the act of coming to church. And it also includes the worship we do with our family members at home. And it also includes our times alone with Jesus. But the best part of worship is when our heart simply outflows in love towards Jesus. Yes, something beautiful is by being a worshipper. I just dropped this card. I find this card very useful. Yeah, I just have a few with me. If you like it, I can give to you later on. 31 ways to praise God. 31 ways to praise God. And it's all about the different attributes of God and how to praise God and how to worship the Lord. And I find it very helpful. So from time to time, I'll just pick it up and remind myself how I must spend time worshiping God. Lesson 3, count the cost. Do something beautiful that is costly to us. So we have to count the cost. Part of what makes this event so powerful is how expensive the perfume was. When Mary poured this out unto Jesus, it is no small thing. The personal cost to her in what she has to give up, as described here, is enormous. Often we want to have a relationship with Jesus that doesn't cost much. It is so easy to embrace the benefits of following Jesus and not want to pay the cost of following Jesus. Sadly, many are following Jesus, which is no different from other religion, because of the benefits that they will receive by being a Christian. Oh, I will follow Jesus when I have all these benefits. But what if you have no benefits at all? And I'm talking about material benefits. Do you still want to follow Jesus? What He has done for you in the forgiveness of your sins and the promises of His presence with you? No, there's a powerful story in the Old Testament about David. David teaches us the same lesson here in that in Matthew, or rather in 2 Samuel 24, the story was told about David counting his troops, and then he was being disciplined by God and for what he has done, and he knew that it was not right. So at the end of that, David wants to offer God a sacrifice, and he wants to do it on a piece of land that belongs to him. And so he goes to a man by the name Arunan and offers to buy his threshing floor to offer a sacrifice. But the person, Arunan, offers, say, "Oh, you don't need to pay me anything. You can have it, you know. You can have it." But David responded with these words, "No, I insist on paying for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. That was his attitude. He will not offer any sacrifices that will cost him nothing. Because David understood for his relationship with God to be truly meaningful, he had to be willing to pay a price. For that matter, in any relationship, human relationships too, but more so our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Yes, we receive the benefits of Jesus as grace. We don't work for them or earn them. Yet, at the same time, our response to Jesus needs to cost us something. Yes, Jesus calls us, remember, to take up the cross and follow him. He calls us to sacrifice in the area of time, money, and even our convenience. A relationship with Jesus that costs us little or nothing ends up being a shallow relationship. So ask ourselves this hard question. Does our relationship with Jesus cost us anything? What have we given up to follow Jesus? Jesus saw in Mary's act of love and how much it cost her. And I believe that Jesus also sees beauty in us when we follow him and when we know the cost of giving to him. We know in many parts of the world, following Jesus means costing their not only personal comforts, but even their lives. And I have in mind many Christians in not only in China, in India, in the Middle Eastern countries, where they will be persecuted because of their faith. Yes, sometimes even cost their life to follow Jesus. And when we practice costly obedience, we learn something that Mary knew when she poured out those expensive perfume. Obedience to Christ's commandments is costly. Yes. Obedience to his instructions, obedience to his commandments is costly. It costs us perhaps even our jobs when we refuse to compromise and when we continue to act with integrity. Yes, are we willing to pay the price as God's children, someone who loves God? Even when our obedience is costly, let me tell you, my dear friends, it is nothing compared to what Jesus has done for us. But are we willing to count the cost? Lesson 4, carry the cross. Doing something beautiful for Jesus often seems crazy to others. We have to carry the cross and the cross of suffering. Now, interestingly, what makes this event so dramatic is the response of other people to what Mary did. Now, listen to the descriptions in Mark 14, where he says some of those present there were saying indignantly to one another, "Ah, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages, and the money could be given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. Now, this event illustrates that when we respond out of our hearts to the love of Jesus, and the way we respond may seem crazy to people around us. And that is exactly what the people say of Mary. "You're crazy. You're crazy." But here Jesus blesses the craziness, as it were, of Mary's action. A story was told of Francis of Assisi, and that he was born in a very well-to-do family. And the father actually was looking forward to him, Francis, to take over the family's business. Francis, when he was a young man, he was a natural leader in that he just wanted to enjoy himself, you know, enjoy life, you know. But then God began to change his heart, and he became a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. His interest went from having fun to preaching the gospel and caring for the poor. His father did not apparently like the development of his son, and it became apparent that Francis, he was more interested in the business of the Heavenly Father than interested in his father's business. So Francis' father called him, and in fact, he called also the town authorities, brought them together to disown his son and to remove him from his inheritance. By the way, such story is not something new. No doubt, his hope is that by doing that, the son might change his mind. Ah, wow, my father has left behind not only a big business, but a big inheritance, you know. But he says no, he wasn't interested. He was only interested in obeying Christ and doing the Lord's business. And so Francis, we were told, agrees with his father's action. And to symbolize it, he took off his clothes as they were bought with his father's money. And he walked away naked, choosing the love of Jesus over the demands of his father. No doubt, those who were there thought, Francis, you're crazy. You're crazy. Leaving behind your father's inheritance. But like Mary, he was so overwhelmed with the love of Jesus. He doesn't really bother about what people think about of him or what he's going to do for the Father's kingdom. So what does it mean for us? It means that we should allow our love for Jesus indeed to spill over our life. Yes, do not worry so much about what other things about you. What more important is what Jesus were to say about us. That is more important. Yes, do something beautiful for Jesus if you truly love him. Do you love him? Do you truly love him? Do you love him with your heart, with your soul, and with your mind? Do you really love him? Just as he has shown to us his love for us. Last but not least, contemplate your testimony. Doing something for Jesus, beautiful for Jesus, is the greatest legacy. What are we leaving behind, my dear friends? Our wealth? They will be eventually gone. How would you like your children to describe you? Oh, my mother is a mahjong addict. Oh, my mother is a TV addict. Oh, or my mother, she devotes herself every day reading the Bible, visiting the poor, serving in the church, spending time helping others, encouraging other women folks, helping all the young children. Isn't it remarkable, my dear friends, that in this passage, Jesus makes a prophetical statement, and he says this, I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And as you know, this story has been told many, many times. Many, many times. In memory of who? Mary. Because she has given us a good example of someone who truly loved Jesus. The legacy she left behind to all mankind is this act of, you may call it, outrageous love. Perhaps there's a lesson for us here as well. Isn't it true that the greatest thing that you can leave behind in this world is your testimony? Not so much your money, but rather your testimony for Jesus. If you, for you, it may be a love you share with your family. Yes, indeed, your devotion as a mother to your family. Because you are doing it not for yourself, but you are doing it for Jesus. Being a devoted mother to your children for the sake of Jesus Christ. Or it may be a specific ministry or act of love. It may be something that you offer directly to Jesus, or it may be something that you do for God's creation. But whatever you do, yes, you do it out of love. Love for Jesus. Maybe you can think of an exercise for yourself. Imagine your funeral. Imagine at your funeral, three or four people who knew you well were to stand up and talk about your life. Suppose each of them tried to communicate the essence of who you are. What would they say? How would they describe your life and what was valuable to you? But more importantly, would part of your life be a testimony of your love for Jesus? I recently conducted a wake service for a 92-year-old sister in Christ. And she has left behind a wonderful legacy for her family. She is not only a grandmother, but also a great-grandmother. I have been serving alongside with her for the last 20 years at Ling Kwang Home for Senior Citizens. And when I first joined Zion Serangoon, and when I first volunteered myself at the Ling Kwang Home for Senior Citizens, I was directed to her because she was there before me, leading in the chapel hour. And I was invited to conduct the week service. And this is what I told the family members and all those who were present, in that she has left a legacy. And she was the longest serving volunteer at Ling Kwang Home, in that she devoted for the last 30 years of her life spending time with the residents at Ling Kwang Home. She was actively leading in songs, cheering the residents, buying food for them. And when she was younger, she would push the residents for outings, pray for them. And she also devoted herself to Bible reading and in much prayer. Yes, my dear friends, Mary left a legacy for us. How about us? There is a bottom line in all this, in that Jesus' commentary on your life will be the greatest commentary of all. Yes, remember what Jesus said to the people around during the time. He said, remember what Jesus says? Leave her alone. Leave her alone. Don't try to murmur against her. Don't try to criticize her. Leave her alone. She has done something beautiful to me. She has done something beautiful to me. Yes, indeed, we need to reflect upon our own hearts and our own behavior. And I trust that when Jesus were to come to us, were to ask, just like he asked Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you really love me? I trust that we'll be able to say, yes, I really love you. And Jesus says to Peter, remember, feed my lambs. Christian mothers, I must tell you, you are different. You are different from mothers in the world. Today, many mothers will also be celebrating Mother's Day. But you are different. You are different when we take up the challenge to devote ourselves as a mother to Jesus, counting our blessings, committing ourselves to worship, counting the cost, carrying the cross, and contemplate the legacy that we're going to leave behind. In conclusion, Jesus died on the cross for us. What have we done for him? Have you done what we could? Yes. How do we show our love to Jesus? God wants us to give him our best, not our leftovers. Those things that we don't want, we give. But we want to give to Jesus our best. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for all the ways that you have touched our lives. Thank you for forgiveness, for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you so much for your healing touch upon our lives. Thank you for your daily help. Thank you for the hope that we have that is in heaven. Help us, O Lord, like Mary, to respond to you in love. Help us to live our lives in such a way that we'll make something, that we will do something beautiful for you and indeed for you alone. Hear this, O Lord, our humble prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.